Welcome to Six Again, your go-to rugby league podcast with hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Newton. Let's kick off.
Hello and welcome into the Six Again podcast, round 25 review show. And it actually feels like we're back on track. We have Jared, myself, and we have the final wrap-up of our preseason predictions, so we'll be going through all those. We have footy tipping to cover. We've got the final results, obviously, of the NRL Premiership regular season. We've got the NRL gaining a whole bunch of new money from their longest-serving sponsor. And what was the other thing? First round of finals complete in both the New South Wales and Q Cups. Lots to get to. How are we doing, boys? How is Perth, Jared? How is cricket training, Wal?
I was hungover as fuck. I'm still am.
Still looking.
Yeah, still looking.
It was a big week.
You got to be drunk for Jared to look worse. Jesus.
Fucking this bloke.
I'm just happy to have people to talk to after last episode.
I thought you did pretty good, to be honest. Like, I don't think anyone else could have sat there and spoke and for 40 minutes and people would continue listening.
Oh, thanks, mate.
That's the teacher coming out in you, though. You can spin yarn. I could do it after a few beers.
Oh,
yeah, we all know you can talk after a few beers.
The funniest thing, I finished the recording. It was like 43 minutes or something. Once I went through and edited and got rid of the silence, where I had to think of stuff in between, I cut out 3.5 minutes of just me trying to think, all right, what am I saying next, when I could have just hit the pause button. But anyway, it's real people to talk to. Now, the biggest query we got was the footy tipping comp, and I had it in my head that it was going to finish at the end of round 25. But remember, set this up before the season started, went back and checked, and it doesn't finish till the grand final. And Wal said he needed to know because it's going to affect his street competition, and you can see why in a moment. But after 25 rounds of the footy tipping comp, and with only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 getting 7 out of 8, there has been a bit of a reshuffle in the top 5. So Wal and myself both got 7 out of 8. So did Titania, Sharkopolips, and Dish Sharks. And what that's done is cut Rocking Horse Road's lead down to 1 point, because he only got 2. The Irk got 6. So it's 165 for Rocking Horse Road, 164 for the Irk, 161 for myself, 160 for Reggie Sidestep. But it does keep a whole bunch of others in with a run going through the finals. But in the street competition, Ben Hunt for Dally M, well, the big mover. On a current long streak of 15.
So hold up. So usually Wolf sits on his phone in his room and he talks on his phone.
Yeah.
Today he's out in the bloody kitchen or the dining room or something.
And he's got the
computer. Yeah, he's still on the phone. It's a distance away. And his chest just like exploded when Wolf's the man of the hour there. And he's just fucking all the way up. Like, look at him. He's so proud of himself.
I'm hitting form at the right time.
Just you are.
And now that I've talked him up, I've got to put him back in his place because Ben Liner picked up another 1, 2, 3 this round to put his current streak at 21. So even though Wal's made
I made one up.
Six. Yeah, 6 behind. I'm 7 behind. I still haven't caught bloody R3, who's still got a streak of 15. So right now, Ben and R3, Wal and R3 are both on 15, but Ben in front with a streak of 21. So 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games to go. It's possible, not probable. But
you got to make some risks here, and it's going to be a hard week to tip in this week.
And so before we crack on to everything, because the regular season's done, we have a bunch of our predictions to go through. So what we've got here...
Oh, actually, one thing you didn't cover, mate, at the risk of talking myself up.
Beth, Nick's... Oh, sorry, Wally's wallet.
Here comes Nick the chess Wally.
I might have to undo the jumper.
No, he's got the Queensland jersey on as well. Look at him.
Can I jump in first? Because I did get a win.
Yeah, go for it.
And then you can... I think pretty much multiply my win by five to get yours. But I had Dragons to win with either Fermor or Hudson Young to score a try. I can't remember now. It doesn't matter. It came through either way. And so that was my I won $69. Nice. And that puts me up to $209. So
you spend too much time with 14-year-olds.
Whoa.
He's a school teacher. Just relax.
That's made it worse. Oh, Jesus. See, this is what we haven't missed with Jared Bean.
Yeah. Go back to Perth.
I'll be a Perth.
Actually.
No,
I tried to jump in last Monday night. You haven't been
there. Yeah, we saw that.
Oh, yeah, we saw that.
I had a few drinks on the way down. I'm like, you know what? Let's have a look at this, see what they're doing.
Yeah, no, we saw his name, but I'm like, nah. So with Jared still on 60, I'm on 209, but little ways behind Wall, let's say. How'd it go down, buddy?
Yeah. Oh, the beers flowed nicely afterwards. I, yeah, obviously, what was it, $37 something on Beau Fermor and Hudson Young?
Yes.
Oh, you reduced my odds, you bastard, didn't you? Yeah,
$37.50 you put on at odds of $9.30, which was a payout of $387.49.
Yeah, good.
To put that with your winnings already of 396 gives you a total of $783.49.
So this week I'm putting $1,000 bet on.
You can't. You got $60.
Right.
$60 on $1,000 odds. $60,000.
I don't know what I'm gonna bet on now that Beau Fermor's not playing anymore.
Yeah, I've already got my bet lined up, but you can't do it till the teams are announced. So
I'm gonna start practicing and seeing if I can find it now.
So it's
good weekend. It's that's the 4 week streak for me. I put $50 in 4 weeks ago and it's up to about $2,500. So last Tuesday night, what I've done is I've taken money out and then left $500 to play with, just so you can take a few more risky bets and as you do.
New to the show, Walt's pretty much become like, we're going to have to redo the logo at some stage, but...
gambling addict.
Gambling. He lives in a different... lives a different lifestyle to Jared and I. Key difference, no partner, no kids at this stage. And just leaving $500 in there just for hell. It was like, we live through Walt. It's pretty much what I'm trying to say. Hence why I'm sitting here drinking Japanese whiskey on a Monday night.
To be fair, I've taken $1,300 out, so I'm up. I've just got giving myself money to play with because I don't like transactions going in and out of my bank account, especially when they're withdrawals.
Yeah, exactly. I've got $6 in mine.
Yeah, in your bank account.
I deposited. I deposited into. Well, no, I now have $0 in that account. I deposited the $6 into the betting account.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got my bet to win.
No, that's for the next.
That's for Wednesday.
Okay, all right, but I've got my bet to win it. I'm going to win. The total winnings for this is $3,200.
Excellent. There we go. So, right at the start of the season, before the first round and everything, my brother Kieran jumps on, gives us six propositions, what things could happen, and we have to say yes, no. And then we also put together our 1 to 16 order of where we believe the teams are going to finish. So, if you pick a team to finish in the bottom eight and they finish in the bottom eight, you get 1 point. If you pick them in the correct position, you get 2 points. So when adding up 1 through to 16, you've got myself, Kieran, Jared, and Wal. Jared finished on a lowly 12 points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So he picked 6 correct teams in each of the top eights, but didn't get anyone in the right spot. Kieran and I did the same, 6 teams in the top 8. However, I picked Knights in the correct position of 14th, so I got 2 points there. But Kieran picked Penrith for minor premiership, picked Parramatta for 4th, and picked Tigers for wooden spoon. So that gave him a total of 15 points. So 3 teams in the correct position. So Kieran takes out what did you end up with?
I had 6 in each as well. So, and I had no one in the actual position.
All right, it's the same as Jared. So 12 points there, 13 for me, but 15 for Kieran. So he took out the prediction comp. Going over State of Origin, though, Kieran and Wild both had Queensland for 2-1 victors. Jared and I both had New South Wales 3-0. This is prior to Latrell Trbojevic, we'll say. It is 100% just an excuse. Now, Kieran's bets, Broncos to have more than 4 halves combos. Jared and I went yes. Kieran went no. They had 4 halves combos, I believe, by round 12. More than 1 coach fired by the end of the season.
That was like 7 in a week.
Yeah, Jared and I had yes. Kieran had no. So it's 1 each for Jared and I. Moylan to play 4 straight, non-injured. Again, Jared and I, yes. Kieran, no. All right, 3 there. Latrell Mitchell to be in the 3-2-1 against the Roosters in the first game. I went no. Jared and Kieran went yes. He did not. He'd just come back. It was his first game of the season.
It was his first game back.
After the suspension. Ponga to take up player option. Kieran and I said yes. Jared said no, and he did. So if you're looking at that, the Titans.
What did get a rake with?
Titans to be the top Queensland team. And they were the previous season. Kieran and I went yes. Jared went no. But I'm assuming you were thinking the Broncos, not the Cowboys.
Well, I did put Broncos in the 8, but yeah, I'm happy I got that one right without any specifics.
Well, it's fine. Looking through your list here, you had Broncos at 14th. Oh, no, you had Cowboys at 10th. There you go. Titans 13th, Broncos 14th. So they were right. Preseason predictions.
I had Broncos at in the top 4 last year.
Yeah, that was like in the third. But we can put a line through Jared's grand final prediction because it was Roosters and Manly. But you can keep your club Churchill and Dally M. All right. I think that's everything with regards to predictions. Let's jump into actual NRL stuff and rugby league stuff for this week. And the longest running naming rights partnership in Australian sport will continue with Telstra and the NRL locking in a further 5-year agreement for it to be the Telstra NRL and the Telstra NRLW. That takes the partnership to who can get the closest years. Well, I flicked through my book. That was a segue to you.
I was in like how many years they've been a partnership.
Yeah, Telstra and the NRL.
It's 22 since 2000, isn't it?
Pretty close. 26.
Yeah, right. 26 so years. It was before Super League.
I thought
it was with the Harvey Norman.
Blah, blah, blah. The premiership through to 2027, which will take the partnership to 26 years. So, yeah, you'd be right with 22 or somewhere around there.
Yeah.
No, 21.
NRL's Premiership.
Yeah, because it was Roosters or Newcastle when they won the grand finals was the first one to do it in 2001.
Right. Any excuse to bring you guys win the Premiership.
Yeah. Right, Dragons, calm down.
I'm alive then, so all good. Yeah, anyway, that's probably probably will be more money. It's just where it goes, don't know, and figures have not been disclosed.
I wish Telstra would step in and take over fucking Fox Sports and media as the number one sponsor and just get rid of Fox Sports.
What?
Yes.
The rights deal, all the rights and stuff go to Telstra and they can stream it on their fucking streaming apps.
What's with all the Fox Sports hate, mate? Come on. If it gets streamed by Telstra, there's going to be no pregame shows, no
Paul Kemp. There's
going to be nothing.
Half Australia won't get reception.
I'm pretty sure they'll find. I wouldn't even be able to watch it at home.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's good. To pub every night. Put a few more punts on while.
Oh, wouldn't that be a shame? that's the most ridiculous thing you've ever said, Jared. And that's a long list.
I can fix Fox Sports. It's just got to go in there and replace like 80% of the live TV stuff. But we'll get to that one day.
Yeah, whoever takes over is going to find some other journalist to spew absolute shit. So, yeah.
I did see a great tweet the other day. Someone said, imagine going to journalism degree for 4 years just to write articles about what the guys on NRL 360 said the night before. I was like, oh, God, that would be.
Imagine going to professional photography school and climbing up a tree to take a picture of the Bulldogs players at Mad Monday.
Yeah, well, he's probably made a shitload of money off it.
Yeah. I'd do that. He'd probably just wake up that morning and say, oh, I've got nothing else on today.
Absolutely.
Limber. All right, candidates announced for the 2022 Rugby League Player Association Player Champion Award. So how this works is each club has four players who are eligible for this prestigious individual honour.
Is this the Nathan Hindmarsh Award?
No, I don't know. It's the Players Champion.
The Ken Stevens.
You're thinking of Proven Summons, wasn't it?
No,
yeah,
no,
Proven like that.
No, the
Proven Summons was the fans.
Oh, yeah, right.
The fans.
Okay.
And then Ken Stevens is the community one, I think.
Yes,
yeah, Nathan Hindmarsh won one like 7 years in a row, didn't he?
Yeah.
The fans player.
He was the People's Champ.
People's Champ. So the Players Champion voting is contenders listed map of four players from each club that are nominated to be eligible. The RLPA.
Oh, please.
I'm not going to read all of them.
Four players.
Oh, no. It's a struggle for some clubs this year.
Yeah.
The Rugby League Player Association delegates at each club put forward the three best players from their own team, and a RLPA working group nominates a fourth. So therefore, there's 64 players eligible from each thing. Voting is open to all contracted NRL players. Each player selecting opposition players using a 3-2-1 format. Players are not penalised for any suspensions and or fines received during the course of the season. So Nelson Asafa Solomon and Jared Warra Hargraves could both be in. The player with the most number of votes is awarded the Players Champion. The five finalists will be announced on October 21st. The Players Award will also include a Rookie of the Year, a Dream Team, and the Dennis Tuddy Award for both NRL and NRLW players. I'm not going to read through all 64. They are on the NRL website. If you're interested about the nominees from your team, you can jump on there and have a look at that yourself.
Can I?
I wouldn't want to sit here and listen to me read through 64 names. I'm not doing that.
Can you please tell me the four people they've identified from each of our clubs? Because I'm struggling to find four.
Well,
between the three clubs.
Josh McGuire's a top.
I was
going to
say Manly had a pretty short list, but somehow one of the seven made it on there. Yes, I think. Maybe. Olakatu. Well, he was out, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So he's on there. Four and Trbojevic and Cherry Evans. That was pretty easy. Pick three of the four leadership group and throw Olakatu in because he scored tries. Heaps. Who else? Where are we going for? Knights. Oh, I see. None of the guys. Oh, that makes sense. None of the guys that have been in any media stuff, and that was easy. So Clemmer, Ponga, Gagai and Young. There you go. And St. George, I'll just get like the vegetarians that don't go to barbecues and that'll be easy. Let's have a look. Titan.
I was told months ago.
Oh, true. Sully, DeBellin.
What are you laughing at?
DeBellin? Bernard and Jack Bird.
You just triggered Walt.
You've set me off, mate. Come on. Mate, Jake Trbojevic is a poor man's DeBellin.
Oh, man.
This is less time in court.
This is literally the hit list of peak players that have been in the media the most over the last 2 years. You've got Payne Haas. Let's have a look here. Nelson of Sofa Solomona is on the list. Holy shit. Cam Munster. Jesus, who else had a fucked up year? This is horrible. Wow.
One last request. West Tigers.
Oh, it's four of their seven captains got in. No, I don't know.
Is it David Nofaluma and Luciano Leilua?
Kel Mitalagi, Jackson Hastings, Dane Laurie, and Joe Fengawi. Actually, kind of makes sense.
Two of them are leaving next year.
Oh, that's brilliant. All right. So, Graham. Into the regular season, Graham Ansley finds a way to pat himself on the back. So judiciary charges and suspensions have more than halved this season as players responded to a crackdown on high shots, crusher tackles and shoulder charges. So the number of charges has dropped from 317 last year to 158 this season. Pretty big drop. While the time players spent on the sidelines while serving bans was down 60% from 223 matches to just 85.
That's not too bad, actually.
Yeah, 80 of those between like three players, I'd say.
From the Dragons.
Yeah, but there's
Jaden.
Does that include fines?
No.
Include fines?
No.
Or is that a direct result of the overall
judiciary charges and suspensions? So not fines.
Yeah, right. Because there's a hell of, there's like three or four fines given out every weekend.
Yes. There's been just 40 charges for high tackles this season compared to 109 last year.
Yeah, but 69 of them last year were during Magic Round.
Yeah, it's true. Let's have a look. So how hip drops and lifting tackles are on the rise. So we're getting away from the top of the body, and now it's down to the bottom of the body. So we're not allowed to hit the head, so we'll take out the hips and the legs. So they're getting around it, and it might shift the other way next year. Who knows? Man, that needs to be a betting line. Oh, not injuries, but types of suspension. Brilliant. Okay. Let's have a look. So, casualty ward, NRL, rah, 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 rah. Nah, we'll do Q Cup, New South Wales Cup, and then we'll come back to NRL, and then we can wrap all that together. All right, so first round of finals for New South Wales and Q Cup occurred this weekend as well. So if you haven't been following the New South Wales Cup or Q Cup, I'll do a quick rundown here of New South Wales Cup. So Newtown Jets topped the table with Penrith second, North Sydney, Bulldogs, Parramatta, Canberra, Rabbitohs and Dragons filling up the top eight. So last week in the, second versus third, so Penrith versus Bears, Penrith won that one 22-14. So they are through with a week off. Bears get a second chance. Bulldogs.
That's impressive with all the players that would have been missing from Penrith.
Yes.
It was essentially their Jersey flag team.
Yeah, and Bears are the Roosters feeder club as well. Yes.
Yeah.
Bulldogs in the finals, beating the Eels 18-6. So what was that? That's – oh, so they only do finals for top six. Must do. That can't be right.
It's a five-week final series, so yeah.
So is it, yes. But they've got like – they've literally got on the ladder like a cut between the top eight, but Rabbitohs and Dragons didn't even play in the finals.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, who cares?
Robbed.
Oh, so Jets got through without having to play. That's how it works. All right. Anyway, so next round you got Jets versus Penrith, second versus first, and Bears versus Bulldogs, fourth versus third. How the hell they worked that out? That was odd. Anyway, in Q Cup, we had Bears finish on top, Sunny Coast Falcons second, Redcliffe Dolphins third, North Devils fourth, Central Queensland Capras fifth, Tweed Seagulls, was it Brisbane Tigers now? East Tigers? And Northern Pride. I had a blank on the Bears. Burley Bears. Bloody hell. All right, first round of the final. So they do it normally. There's eight teams in it. So Seagulls beat the Tigers 24-18. Sunny Coast went down to Redcliffe 16-22. Capras beat the Pride 30-22. And Bears went down 19-20 to the Devils. What an awesome round of finals footy that is. Biggest margin of eight. That's really good in two of the games. Really cool. Anyway, so it says finals week two to be confirmed, even though they've had all the winners from round one. Odd. Anyway, we'll bring that to you when we can. We had to do some off-air maths then. Anyway, Pride are out and Tigers are out. So Dolphins and Devils will get a week off. Falcons will verse Seagulls. And Bears will verse Capras. There we go. Oh, bloody hell. Shouldn't be that freaking hard. Still, at least it's a step in front of New South Wales comp.
New South Wales just don't get final series.
Yeah, we'll go with that. I love that. And we've got our Palmy Devils grand final this Saturday at Sunny Coast Stadium, and they'll be up against, I don't know.
Merry Valley Stags.
We're not mentioning those people on this podcast. Fucking hell. Some green team.
That may listen. But, and then that's at Sunny Coast Stadium. And Wednesday night, I'll be at Sunny Coast Stadium again for the Sunny Coast Girls Rugby Union Grand Finals. And we had three of our Nash teams get through for that. So we're going down there. Wednesday, I'll be doing some live commentary on a YouTube stream. So that'll be sick fun. Go Nashies. All right. Big week of grand finals. Let's have a look at injuries out of the final round of the NRL before we have a look at the NRLW as well. So Joey Manu is going to be missing from the sudden death final against South Sydney. He confirmed he picked up a calf strain, which is expected to sideline him for 2 to 3 weeks. Prop Jared Warrior-Hargraves, his neck, and Sam Verrills failed to complete the match, but both have been cleared of season-ending injuries. Victor Rowley completed the HIA protocols and resumed full contact training. Sawali and Tupou will both resume training, and Rabbitohs captain Cameron Murray is racing the clock after, like, he'll have to go through concussion protocols.
He got smoked, eh? That was bad looking.
Let's have a look. Sharks face a nervous wait with regards to Sisoffa Talakai's ankle injury. What did Fitzgibbon say? He stirred up his syndesmosis injury from a few years ago. Jerome Hughes missed Storm's game on Thursday night against the Eels. Should be available for week one. Kenny Bromwich has to go through concussion protocols. Ryan Sutton's out for the rest of the season with a hand injury. And Tom Dearden, well, he returned against the Panthers on Saturday and pulled up well, so he should be good to go. So nervous wait there for the Sharks, Storm, and Rabbitohs. So we'll see. Judiciary, Matty Croker faces a ban of missing the first two games for a hit drop on Talakai.
This one I've got to have a rant about.
All right,
that was
go.
Not a hit drop.
Are you defending Newcastle player?
I'm taking Jared's spot and going on a Newcastle rant.
Oh shit!
This is absolute ridiculous. I was watching this at the surf yesterday with my old man for Father's Day, having a few bevvies, and this is not a hip drop. A hip drop is you come in at the waist and then you drop your weight. He was grabbing Talakai around the shoulders and has legitimately fallen off the tackle and fallen onto his legs. I don't understand how that's a penalty.
That's 100%. I 100% agree.
100%?
With you, 100%. 110%.
Oh, stop it. They've got it wrong. They've got it absolutely wrong. If they're telling me that Nathan Cleary's against
you specifically.
The Storm, or when it was at the start of the year, he drops all his weight blatantly onto someone's leg. They find him, yet this is a hip drop. I just don't get it.
Anyway, I'm not going to say. No, that's good. See, Newcastle rant done in 30 seconds. Corey Horsburgh, and Tigers pair Jake Sipkin and Musgrove, the other players charge. $750 and for a careless high tackle, he's free to place the Storm this week. While Simpkin and Musgrove affect fines for dangerous contact. Well, that was the drop of the elbow under the back of Horsburgh's head. He just jumped on and threw the ball at him. So I was looking at that going, it's a knock on against forward pass, but no, it's all good. Jack Lomas was charged for a crusher tackle. And we know about Lindsay Collins, who'll only play in the grand final if the Roosters make it. We'll have our break there. We'll come back and wrap up NRLW, and we'll give out our grades to all of the NRL clubs who did not make the finals. There are actually some pass marks, I promise.
I don't agree.
All right, so we are now three rounds in to the NRLW, and there's already a couple of teams have locked up their finals position, as how it goes with only six clubs and five rounds. Newcastle continued on their winning ways, just, and we'll get to that one.
First time that's ever been said on the podcast.
Broncos picked up their first win of the season, while downing the Titans to their third loss. But the big game, the game that was hyped up, actually proved to be the biggest blowout of the weekend, unfortunately for Wol. Roosters 34 defeating the Dragons 6, the very first match in the brand new Allianz Stadium. I was expecting a closer match in this one based on how both teams have been playing, but Roosters showed why they are the defending premiers, and it's going to take a pretty damn good team to beat them.
Yeah. We we started this game really well. We got the jump on them. We scored first, and we had the majority of the possession for the first half of the game. We just the Roosters are just such a well-drilled outfit. We had set plays. We had all these half chances, and their scramble was just too good for us. And in the end, it forced us to make errors. And then they got their way back in the game, 6-6 at halftime. Was still pretty happy with that. But they just, once again, weathered the storm to start the second half. And they've sort of done this all year. They've come in. They've sort of just grinded for the first 50 minutes, and then they've blown teams off the park in the last 20. And they did the same thing here. They scored, what, 4 tries in the last 20 yeah. minutes. And once they got their tails up, it's hard to stop. And they've just got so much strike. We spoke about this last week. Their forward pack just limits what the opposition can do, and then gets on top themselves. And when you got players like Bremner, Sergis, Kelly, Racine McGregor, 4 try assists on the weekend. Like, she's just absolutely killing it. She's got to be favourite for Dally M this year. She's absolutely killing it.
Yeah, after what she's done, especially over the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
I think I sold the Dragons a little bit short. I should have said, yeah, when I said the biggest blowout, I did tell them short with regards to it was 6-6 at halftime. And yeah, the damage was done the second half.
You always felt that we just couldn't crack them, and you just felt that the Roosters were just, even though we had a lot of the possession early on, that they were just still in control. You know, you can watch a well-drilled outfit. They don't get away from their systems at all. And I mean, how many times have we said it in both the men's and women's comp, but how well-drilled the Roosters are. They're just, they're in a league of their own at the moment, definitely.
Well, listen to these numbers here. This is the back five for the Roosters, just in tackle breaks. 6-4, 6-4, 3. What's that? 23 tackle breaks just in the back five alone. Mm. And you look back, 148 meters for Isabel Kelly, 109 for Sergis, neither of them scoring points, but you got Sammy Bremner, 17 runs, 203 meters. And you look at the overall stats page, most run meters, most line breaks, and obviously then most fantasy points. She was in everything again. And then you had Olivia Koenig, the 2-try hero from the previous week, making the most tackles for the Roosters out on the edge. So, yeah.
It was hard to watch. It was hard to watch Sammy Bremner absolutely torch us.
That would have been. The
Dragons, great.
Mm. Oof. That drops the Dragons their first loss of the season. So they're at 2-1. Emma Tonegado in a losing side almost pushed 200 metres. By herself, 186 there. Any other players you want to give a shout out to off the Dragons? Elsie Albert over 100 meters, 115. And then Tara McGrath West off the interchange, 108.
Yeah. I think Mona Lisa Soliola had some good moments as well. I think she's only 18. She got her first start. And yeah, she was quite dangerous out in the edge. She's got a lot of second phase play about her. But other than that, the usual suspects, Keely Davis was strong again. I thought Kezia Apps' first stint was pretty good. It is what it is, you know. Like, you know where the benchmark is, and all I can hope is last season we put away the Roosters relatively comfortably during the season, and then they turned the tables on us in the grand final. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, and that Roosters run started when there was 16-0 down to the Broncos in the first week of the finals and came back to win that. And Broncos hadn't won since until they took on the Titans this weekend. And it wasn't a clinical performance, but they ground out the win. Yeah, there you go. Look at that. 12-0 halftime, Broncos over the Titans. That was 3 tries to none. However, obviously 0-3 with the conversions. I don't think there's anything more to be said about Taryn Aitken for the Bronx. Like, she's the go-to half for them. I know Ali Brigginshaw's there, and she's doing a bit of directing around, but Taryn Aitken's the one setting everything up. Even though it shows no tries for her for the weekend, I'll have a look for try assist. Here it is here. I swear she had one. Yeah, there it is. Try assist, line break, 4 tackle breaks. Like, she had another blinder of a game. Jamie Chapman scoring a hat trick was really impressive, and it wasn't catch and put down. The first one, she had a fair bit of work to do and showed her strength. And then Chelsea Lanaduzzi was epic up front. 47 minutes, 164 meters, 37 post contact, a line break, 5 tackle breaks off 15 hit ups, to go along with 14 tackles and none missed. Like, she was an absolute beast up front for the Bronx. They looked a lot more like the Broncos of last year. And I'll do a shout out as well to Hannah Larson off the bench, 46 minutes on debut, 10 hit ups off the bench for 101 meters, 34 post contact, 3 tackle breaks, and 15 tackles with 0 miss. Like, as soon as she was on the field, you noticed her for the rest of the game. She had a cracking game. For the Titans, Maddie Bartlett getting across the line, but there wasn't, they didn't have the standout player that they needed to have. Lauren Brown was pretty quiet at halfback. Kimora Brailey-Nardi was pretty quiet at 5'8". They just seem to be missing star power, strike power, like the like your Kelly or your Chapman or someone that you can just give the ball to that's going to score a try 6-7 times out of 10. They just don't have that player. Pleedy can't do it all herself in the centres. So
I think you'll find there'll be a change in the spine next week. Exactly what that is, but I think Polite has to go back to fullback. On paper, their spine looks really good, but it just hasn't clicked. And
yes,
whether they try to get Lauren Brown back into dummy half, I'm not too sure. It's a tough one, but yeah,
she seems wasted at halfback. I just she's a distributor rather than a playmaker. I think I agree with you there.
Yeah. Yeah. But just another dragon going around killing it. Jamie Chapman. Great to see.
And talking about players leaving clubs, a couple of players from the Broncos have gone to the Knights. We'll throw this one to Jared. 18-16 over the Eels. What do you make of this one, buddy?
Look, it was my first Father's Day. I was busy, but we won.
There you go. There's the wrap up on Jared. No, and I threw it to him knowing that he hadn't seen it.
Over Parramatta, but can't really do the whole Parramatta talk considering where Newcastle are in the men's.
Yeah. So Tamika Upton getting across the stripe for the Knights. The only difference was a penalty goal to Kira Dib in the 47th minute. Both teams 3 tries, 2 conversions each. Rakea Horn, a double for the Eels. I think this is probably the only game out of the NRL and the NRLW that we didn't get to see. Eels are up 6-4 at halftime. I'm not going to try and fake a breakdown of this one, considering we didn't see it, but just some of the key numbers out of it. 229 metres for Upton, which is ridiculous. Vanessa Foliaki, 156 metres to go along with 32 tackles. That puts the Knights at 3-0. It puts the Eels at 0-3 or 1-2.
Yeah. 0-3. They've played the top 3 teams too.
That's right. Yeah. They've
been unlucky, Parramatta. They're probably the team that's pushed the Roosters the furthest so far.
And the closest that they've come to the Knights out of anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, they pushed us the whole 70 minutes as well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them win their last two and sneak into that fourth spot and almost do a bit of a Roosters. They just seem to be improving. The Roosters of last season, they've sort of been improving each week. And to be honest, at the start of the year, I thought they were going to be clear wooden spooners because they just had a very inexperienced team and, they didn't really go out and recruit many big names compared to your Knights and stuff like that, or they didn't retain a lot of their players from last season. So, I think there's plenty of upside with them.
Yeah, I can get on board with that because having a look at the ladder here, Roosters and Knights already locked up a finals with 3 wins, 0 losses. So 6 points, Dragons on 4 points, 2-1. Broncos 1-2, and they take on the Dragons next week. So you got third versus fourth. And then Eels and Titans down the bottom, 0 wins, 3 losses, and they take on each other. So next week, first versus second, third versus fourth, fifth versus sixth. This could go a long way to determining the minor premiership between the Knights and the Roosters. And it could go a long way to determining that fourth and finals position. So definitely keep an eye out for that one. All righty. That brings us to the final round of the NRL, round 25. I'm having a look here. It's not letting me go back to round 25. It's just got the finals. There we go, round 25. Now, the two big games from this weekend that had finals implications for both teams involved were Eels and Storm on Thursday night, the winner of this getting the second chance in the finals card, the loser going to the elimination. Eels 22 defeated the Storm 14. So Storm playing this on without Jerome Hughes, who was a late withdrawal, not late enough that they couldn't plan for, but then Cooper Johns, the replacement, was smacked out of the game pretty early. Did he come back on?
He didn't. Yeah, he came back on.
That's right. But yeah, he was off for that HIA period. Dylan Brown slicing through using his speed, and Storm didn't get on the scoreboard till the 66th minute and then came home with a very wet sail, three tries in the last 14 minutes after being down 8-0 at halftime. It was a cracking, crazy game. A whole bunch of things happened in this one. But Eels showed again their ability to beat the top two teams, or one of the top two teams, over 80 minutes. They did it down in Melbourne, 28-24. They did it at home, 22-14. And every time people look at writing Parramatta off, they come and do this to Melbourne, and they did it to Penrith. So
the only question is, can they do it for more than 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks to worry? Because that's what they're going to do in the finals.
Yes, that is still a very legitimate question. And obviously we'll see that in the first round, because now they've lined themselves up a match against Penrith.
Can I just say something? I'm so pissed off about this, because I feel that if any other club that in that top eight, bar probably Penrith, knocked off the Storm a week out from the finals, they'll be talking about how good they are, mm-hmm. and how all of a sudden, you know, they're one of the premiership contenders. I know that Parramatta have come into second favouritism now, but all this talk about, but they've still got to do it over a sustained period, that's bullshit. Like, they have timed their run perfectly. What do you mean?
Are you serious right now?
What? Yeah, I'm being serious right now. What are you going to say?
The same thing happened last year. They got knocked out of straight sets. Same thing happened the year before. They got knocked out of straight sets.
Last year.
This is they're the same team.
Last year. Doesn't matter.
What's the difference in teams?
It's not the difference in teams, mate. They peaked midway through last year and then hit a flat spot before the finals. This year, they've peaked their run. They've won four out of the last five going into the finals, knocked off a Storm team going into the finals. They were in complete control for that game, and Storm scored three tries in 10 minutes when they'd already clocked off and started taking people off.
Yeah, okay. You use your evidence as in, you know, they beat Melbourne and they beat Penrith. They also lost to Tigers.
The Tigers aren't in the finals, though.
But that's my point. No, but my point is, you're using evidence as being the top team. Can't the same evidence be used by losing against a bottom team?
That was 3 months ago.
No, it goes to their pattern.
In the middle of the season.
But it goes to their pattern. All you're going off the last five games, I'm going off the last 3 years.
Well, that's irrelevant.
No, it's not, because it's exactly the same team.
No.
Is it not?
I think you both got a point. So if we have a look at the Storm and Penrith and we look over the last 3 years, they got sustained success, whereas Eels have had sustained losing once they made the finals over the last 2 years. However, I also see Wald's point in that both the years where Parramatta have been kicked out of the finals very early on, the season before last, they were incredible to start the season. The next year, they were okay to start and then incredible through the middle. This year, at no point have they been incredible, but they've been able to win throughout the entire season and against the better sides. They may have slipped up against the bottom sides, but then you also look at the Dragons this year, I think Wall brought up. Their only three losses at home this year were against teams above them. They didn't lose to anyone below them on the ladder or something.
We lost to one game to a team below us all year.
Yeah, and then lost against all the top teams. So even though a team didn't make it into the finals, it's still a pretty decent year when you look at it that way. I think you both got a point there. We can't just bank
history on winning but not losing. Four of their last five. Do you remember the game they lost in that period?
Against Rabbitohs.
I'll be honest with you. The only team that I'm concerned about for Parramatta in the finals is the Rabbits. If they can avoid the rabbits,
they'll be fine. From memory, no one tipped the rabbits in that game, to be fair.
So, in
I did. The rabbits always get power.
Oh.
It's just...
Sorry.
If they lose this weekend, I'm confident in making the prelim. Because they'll win the next game. Yeah, they'll win the game after. If they win this weekend, they won't make the group four.
I think Eels got the best draw out of this that they could have gotten.
They do. Like, but going up against Penrith at Penrith, a fully fit team, like Penrith will have, Nathan Cleary will not have a niggling injury. He might have a little bit of game, but he'll be fully fit. It's going to be a hard test for him. It's going to test everything they've done this year, because in big games they've proven when it matters they fail.
Well, it mattered last weekend.
Not really.
So
not really.
To Melbourne, it didn't.
It gave them an elimination compared to a double chance in the finals.
They were playing for that. Thing. It didn't matter for the Melbourne.
Yes, it did.
No, it didn't.
Because it dropped them into elimination.
Nah, it didn't matter for them. And there's another team in the top eight who I'll put a money on by losing to zero in the finals than Parramatta.
I don't understand all this hype on Melbourne. I haven't understood it all year. Last year, I know they won 20 games in a row, but they don't have a player that can control a game when they're not dominating. That's Melbourne's problem. Yet everyone puts Melbourne up there in the upper echelon. Like, they're this great team. They proved last year they couldn't win the big games. They couldn't even score more than 10 points against the bloody Penrith team.
Difference is they have 20 years of experience. They have 20 years of
Evidence. Yeah, well, none of those guys are still there.
None of those guys are still there.
So there's one bloke who's still there. That's pretty consistent in that last 20 years.
Bromwich.
It's one.
He's talking about Munster?
No, Bellamy. Bellamy.
Bellamy.
Oh, Bellamy. Yeah, but look at the players he had.
What?
Look at the players he had. I'm not knocking Bellamy at all. He's a great coach. But there's no one in that team. Unless Melbourne get to play the exact way that they want to play footy, they're not winning a game against the top teams.
Mate, I would be very hesitant about ruling Melbourne out in any situation.
I don't think Wall's ruling them out. He's saying that if they're not able to play how they play, they won't win. Jesus Christ.
Is this how you feel when I rule out Parramatta?
So I cursed myself before the season by picking probably my two most hated teams making the grand final, which means they're going to make it. So I already know who the grand final is going to be.
If
it's allowed to pan out that way, I don't even know if they'll verse each other, but we'll see.
But everyone's talking about Penrith Parra and, you know, Melbourne Canberra, which would be a good game. The game I'm actually looking forward to is Cronulla North Queensland.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at right now.
We're looking at the wrap-up.
Now, the actual cracker of the weekend was Bulldogs. No, let's not talk about that. The other one was Roosters 26 over Rabbitohs 16. So Rabbitohs have won four of the last five against the Roosters.
I will say, now it's finals. I'm so glad we don't have to talk about, like, the Tigers games and shit anymore.
Yes.
That makes me feel better as a Dragons fan.
We'll get to that. Roosters 26 to beat the Rabbitohs 16. Pretty much just means that the Roosters will have the home game, which is supposedly where the Rabbitohs are going to be a home game. Anyway, it'll be at Allianz next week. It never really felt like Rabbitohs were in this one, especially Cameron Murray going out so early with his horrible tackling technique that gets him in trouble more often than not. No one talks about it, but anyway. For being great tacklers, him and Radley get concussed quite a lot, eh? Just throwing it out there. Roosters finished sixth, Rabbitohs finished seventh, somewhere around there. The craziest game from the weekend, Warriors 26 losing to the Titans 27, despite being up 26-12 with 6 minutes to go or something.
And 16-0 also.
And also 16-0 up. And then Sean Johnson just watching disbelief in the coach's box with Stacey Jones. And I believe Shuey Man actually did it out of a gumboot, considering how much of a fight back it was from the Titans. And Tanner Boyd just... cool man under pressure, slotted the field goal from like 35 out. And I've tried my hardest, but Atticus is a Titans supporter. He came out when the girls were on. He's like, there's my team, the Titans. All right, I've lost him. But at least he got a win. He was the only one in the family. Oh, no, Matty got a win as well, but you know. Dragons. So that led us to Dragons and Broncos. And Broncos had to win this game to give themselves any chance of the finals. Oh. And they looked like they were up for it from the start.
Oh, does it get any better than ending the Broncos season? Oh.
What makes it better was Broncos, the one group of people who knew how important this game was, and it is completely capitulated. It was so bad.
I love those Adam Reynolds buying the season tools. I think we went off on that about 12 weeks too early, but you know,
sign hook for mate. If the season went for another 3 weeks, we would have made the 8.
As long as your best team's below you on the ladder. Oh no, these guys are above you. There you go, you got one.
I love Wolves' confidence.
Matt Fangai was that solo try of his was just a get out of my way. That was such a good try.
And pretty good defense.
Oh yeah, it's brilliant. His tackle breaks are gonna look. I just love the tries where an individual has to do that much work and then to actually score the try, it's that final reach across the line, and they 12, just get
12 there. Missed tackles in that run. Was it something like that?
Yes, I don't know.
That's pretty close to my record.
Fucking hell.
Considering we're all in Queensland, and while and I are Queensland supporters in Origin, there is something extremely satisfying of seeing the Broncos capitulate like this from where they were on the ladder.
It's the fans. Like, actually, I'm not going to say all fans, but the fans, the Broncos fans that I know, God, they're arrogant. My God.
James and Ben.
Yeah, like,
nah, you guys are good.
They could be fine, yeah. I'm sure they are, but geez, some of the Broncos fans that I cop it from, my God. Like, I wasn't even like the Dragons would lose to a team that wasn't even the Broncos, and they'd be sharing it on my page and like giving me shit about the Dragons losing. Actually, one of the guys in our fantasy drafts chat, I think it was probably 2 months ago, and like we must have dropped a couple games in a row, and he was like, "Oh, the Dragons are in trouble, mate." Blah blah blah. Oh, he's making finals this year, and I was like, "Actually, it was still a mathematical chance, thanks, mate." I'm like, "I'd be worried about you guys," and he's like, "Oh, don't worry, we got used in the last round, so I think we'll be right." you better believe I saved that screenshot.
Oh yeah.
Even if he didn't, he would have found it. Just went back like millions and millions of messages.
Try being so a manly supporter in a high school in Queensland. Yeah.
When I just love he's got his hands on his head and his chest out again, everyone, just so everyone knows.
I was gonna say, Jared, this that'll be you when Storm end up winning the premiership and you'll find me saying Storm, they're gone. Put a line through them.
Episode 220.
It'll go both ways by me saying if Para win the premiership as well.
Oh.
Mate.
You better believe.
If Para win the premiership, I don't know what I'm going to do with life. That'd be a bad day for me.
No, I've already... It's one of the two most hated teams are going to win. It's Parramatta versus the Roosters. And that's what the grand final is going to be. So it's just what it's going to be.
It'd be a great game of footy, though, if it's those two teams.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and notice the driver reason to me that they're still the best odds, but we'll see.
Tedesco just outshines Guffo and everything.
The other, I might trade him by then. Anyway. other three games, Cowboys 38 over Penrith 8, not a huge surprise there with the amount of players that Penrith rested. Sharks 38 over the Knights 16. So Cowboys needed Knights to win if Cowboys wanted the home final against the Sharks, but Sharks wrapped up business as they needed to. And then Raiders came out and played kind of how the Broncos should have. 56-10 victors over West Tigers after being up 42-0 at halftime. So clocked off a little in the second half, only winning that one 14-10. Now, I sent the boys a screenshot of this prior, so this afternoon, and this has been... to me, the funniest stat of the season, it just continued to go. So since Brett Kamali took over, we've touched on this before, the opponent's goal-kicking percentage finished at 91.4% after Jamal Fogarty and Jordan Rapana went a combined 10 for 10 over the weekend. So before that, with less attempts, teams were 39 from 61 at 64% when Maguire was coach. So Looking back through the season, the only players to miss a shot at goal versus the Tigers since Kamali took over. Ruben Garrick in round 14, Mitch Moses in round 17, Jake Clifford twice, round 21, Nico Hines round 22, and Zach Lomax round 24. Now, this shows how crap our three teams are this year. Not only did we not make the finals, but there's a player from each of our teams in the only five teams to have missed goals against the Tigers, which means we're the only team.
When you score as many tries as we do.
He scored out near the sideline.
Shut up,
I was like, we could have helped him out. So that puts that team as the easiest to kick conversions and penalties against since John Morris's 2019 Sharks, where the opponents kicked 83 out of 91 for 91.2%. I don't even know why they take stats for shit like this, but it's just...
For dickheads like you?
No, just like not only are you on 10 points at the end of a season where you got a bye, so you got 4 wins out of 24 matches. The other team scoring every fucking try under the post. It's not even.
Oh, that's just some real good kickers from out wide.
Did you see the
Jordan
game?
Jordan Rapana.
He kicked 4 for 4 or something.
Your favorite player, well.
Oh, it's hilarious. Anyway, so. Yeah, that brings an end to the 25 game regular season. The elimination finals will be Storm versus Raiders, Roosters versus Rabbitohs. The top 4 finals, Penrith versus Eels, Sharks versus Cowboys. Now, we have grades for the 8 teams who did not make the finals. And should we start at the only team to have won something this year in the Tigers? Wooden spoon. First one in their history, so congratulations, I guess. I don't know what that feels like. There you go.
I don't think anyone's ever going to give the Tigers a pass, Mark. It started this year with naming 7 captains, and the 7 of the captains that named, I don't think 4 of them were going to make their starting 13. After 5 weeks, Tyrone Peachy got dropped. He was the first one. That should have been a bet. Who was the first new Tigers captain to get dropped down to fucking reserve grade?
You think Tamo's second guessing is quarter getting
out of
that suspension?
You got a wooden spoon that you're scratching your back with right now?
No, it's a Japanese back scratcher that my brother brought back.
Just on that, Adam, about James Tamo, do you think that the NRL are like evil geniuses? That are like, we'll show him.
Yeah, you want to play? Go for it.
Yeah, look. The thing about the Tigers is that while the players probably aren't putting out the best performances,
no.
I think we can all agree it's the front office that is the worst fucking part of the Tigers. It's just a fucking clusterfuck, to be honest.
No one wants to take ownership of it.
I know.
The only person that was like up front about everything was Madge.
Yeah.
And they got rid of him. And then they've got Tim Sheens. Yeah, they got Tim Sheens and Benji sitting around doing fucking nothing and letting Kamali take all the shots.
Yeah, right. And you know what? He's probably the most felt sorry for / love guy in the NRL right now, because that game they lost 72-6 or whatever it was, and he's just sitting in the dressing room. Like, none of it was his fault, but the problem is he was the coach who caught that beating. Like, it's on his record, official record now.
So. I wouldn't have sat there that long.
Well, that was the conversation. Sometimes walk out, just leave. What can you say to the coach in that situation?
So, what are we giving the Tigers?
What's Zed. Below E?
Yeah, I've got an E.
We're gonna give it to them. Like, they're 4 and against, stayed below 350. So, out of 20 losses, like, could have been worse. But yeah, no E.
You know, they had their moments throughout the year. There was the Power game they won. They won a few of it. Like,
they made South as well.
Yeah, Jackson Hastings is a positive. It's disappointing they're going to lose Garner and Tulagi. But that's just sad management right there.
They really did take a hit once Hastings went down, eh? He came as advertised, I think.
And then you do shit like, you know, keep a club culture by loaning out Gildard and Ofaluma, and he was like, what are you doing?
And Leilua.
Yeah, you're getting rid of Leilua because Madge wanted Leilua because he was like one of the few strike weapons in the Tigers team. And as soon as he got on, they're like, yeah, you go, man. It's fine. It's
What about Warriors? 15th position, 14 points, 6 wins, 18 losses. Moved back home in round 15, I believe it was. NRL didn't see it fit to give them home games for the rest of the season, but anyway, gave their home crowns mostly, things to cheer about, highlighted by their 42-6 victory, I believe, over the Bulldogs.
I think it was highlighted by old mate doing shoeys. That was the highlight of this season.
Man, I gotta be honest, we got to see the Warriors play at Redcliffe. And they picked up the win against the Raiders, albeit in very controversial circumstances. Matt Lodge died.
I'm still scared of Ricky Stewart.
Yes. And considering everything that this club has been through, the injuries that they also had on top of that, the coaching change, I find it almost cruel to give them anything less than a pass. But there are also games where they just... See, I'm looking at it like they finish on the same points as the Titans and the Knights. The only reason they're below is for and against, and it's literally 2 points difference for and against the Knights. And I'm much more critical of how the Knights played this year than how the Warriors did in my head from both the talent they've got on the park and the lack of external circumstances. So
my biggest issue is with the Warriors is they've got one of the biggest attacking threats in Sean Johnston. Throughout his career, he's played well when he's had some decent consistency next to him. And they just chopped and changed his halfback throughout the entire year. And you just like, and a lot of it wasn't through injury. They were just trying different shit.
And then they've let Dejan Arce go anyway. So
yeah. And then, you know, the whole Reece Walsh thing was an absolute debacle. I hate to say it, but their management needs a serious talking to about when they sign a player, make sure he's the player you want to bring into the club to improve the culture, not just improve some score some trials on the field, improve the culture, which leads into scoring points. I'm not a fan of how they run their season and their signings and other things.
I think other than probably, those 3 wins you spoke about, the Raiders, they beat the Cowboys earlier in the year as well at Redcliffe and they flogged the Dogs at home. When you're finishing 2 wins ahead of the Tigers after the year that the Tigers had, it's a big fail for me.
We just lump Titans and Knights into that comment as well?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I've got Titans, Knights and Warriors all the same grade, D-.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Titans are probably the most disappointing out of those lot based on what happened last year, but you sort of felt like there was a drop coming for them.
I also thought they had the youngest spine in the comp as well, and we knew, most people knew they were going to take a hit at some point, and they didn't find their best spine until literally the last 4 weeks of the season when Campbell was back and AJ Brimson slotted in at 5'8", which is going to give them the headache. It looks like Toby Sexton's going to be the one that's gone. Someone has to be gone because you've got 5'6" in the spine.
I think everyone expected this as soon as they got rid of Fogarty.
Oh, yeah. That was the biggest loss of the offseason.
So I don't think Fogarty's changing them from being... They probably might finish 10th or 11th. I don't think
they're going to top 8. The biggest thing Gold Coast were lacking the entire year was game management. They just had none. Their kicking game was horrible. It's very inconsistent. Their forward pack wasn't utilised correctly.
I wasn't a big fan of Holbrook's bench and back row combinations through the year. I thought there was a few times he missed a trick with regards to playing or not playing players like McIntyre or SASA as much as could have been.
Or putting McIntyre at dummy half the other weekend wasn't too flashy.
What about Jared Wallace? They actually started playing better when McIntyre went to hooker.
The
Josh McGuire effect.
I will throw out that Bo Fermor's probably had his best years ever had. He had an incredible year. He was while I was riding him to the end.
They picked up a player in JoJo Fifita once he made his debut. I think that's my point.
You got some really strong young guys there, like really quality players, but this lacked direction the entire year. They had probably what average age of their spine was 19.
We'll see that with Foran next year, however they're going to fit him in, considering how their spine finished the season. So
I think the last month just proved how big an asset Fifita can be for him when he gets some decent ball.
Early. Jared's going to try and bring something. He's got no one in his club arrival.
I'm not talking about Bunny or anything like that, but the last month I thought he was close to one of their best players. Firmer was, it's just they've got strike both edges, and when they're
it's a good thing to have. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah. They with Verrills and Foran coming next year, they'll have a bit more direction in game management. So
I think the person who's gonna benefit most from Verrills and Foran will be Jaden Campbell.
So we got Tigers at E. You guys got Titans, Knights, Warriors D minus.
We didn't even get to spray Newcastle.
They spray themselves.
No, on Newcastle, I'll say two things on them.
Their NRLW team would beat them.
The forward pack that they have, if you have a team with Clemens, Safidi, Twins, Frizzell, to a point Barnett, and Jaden Brayley, I know he played from round 16 onwards, they should have dominated the middle a lot more throughout the year. And my other issue with them is that there's been a big controversy about the players that have been let go out of Newcastle from their juniors, which, you know, every club loses juniors. I'm okay with that. But my issue is they're not developing the current ones. Like, there's no one in their junior system who they've progressed through to the NRL who's actually progressed. Like, there's no...
I'd say Tex Hoy did over the last month. Oh,
he did, but you got Phoenix Crossland... Brab and Best, I'd fuck all. Lachlan Fitzgibbon's probably gone backwards for me. Safidi Twins, yeah, but they had their moments where they're not that flash this year. And then you've got Pasami Solo, who is the same size as Nelson Asofa Solomona when he was the same age.
And just can't catch a break.
He just can't catch anything. you've got a good mixture of young versus old and stuff like that. And the halves are a bit of a battle. But, you know, I just spent ages on it. Yeah. I just don't like it. I just don't like the fact that these young fellas who come through a system at Newcastle where it's pretty, what's the word? Pretty isolated. Like, the Newcastle development system should be as big as Pembroke because it's so far away from everything else. But the players they're picking to stay to the NRL aren't
the right ones.
Doing better. And it does my head in. That worries me more than anything else in Newcastle's team.
I would love to see an individual for and against table for Dane Gagai this season.
Oh, because mate.
I swear it's going to come out neutral. Like, however many points he scored, he's let in at least the same, if not more.
Defense has hilarious. Not been there at all. Like.
Remember at the start of the year how he was in the conversation for signing of the year?
Yeah. Yeah, because so was the well, Newcastle this limit had no strike player out wide. We signed Gagai, and we're like, well, Gagai and Best either side of the thing. That's not too bad combination at start on paper. Then you're just like, oh no, that's not good at all. But I will say Dominic Young's probably their best player of the year by far. Like, he's the only player who's actually like really had a crack every game. He's played well.
So, yeah. Bottom four clubs, fail marks. Are we going to go into the first pass mark of the bottom eight with the Bulldogs in 12th position, 16 points, 7 wins, 17 losses?
Massive fail until Mick Potter came along.
mm-hmm. Let's have a look. So,
can we just give Mick Potter a pass mark, not the Bulldogs?
Yeah, as a club, I don't think they've done much correct. So, last year they were on 8 points with 3 wins. 21 losses in a row. So, 8 wins and they're up to, what did I say? Sorry, 8 points and they're up to 16 points. So, they doubled their points from last year and they have 4 more wins. So, they've improved by, 4 wins. In a season when they brought in all of their
last part of the season, though.
Yes.
And then when you say it like that, it doesn't sound that impressive.
Nope.
But, I just don't know what Trent Barrett was doing. Did Mick Potter just leave? Mick Potter just like grab the whole playbook and just burn it, throw it in the bin, and stand on it, and then go fuck it. Just go out and play football. I don't give a shit what you do. Just play football. Here's a structure to get out of your half. here is two or three set plays to potentially score a try thing, but other than that, see what's in front of you. And it's just, I'm actually a bit dirty that Mick Potter didn't get the full-time job at Bulldogs. I'm a bit dirty about that. Like,
so just a reminder, looking back, they won their first game of the year 6-4 over the Cowboys and then went loss, beat the Roosters, loss, beat the Eels. So their three wins so far have been the Cowboys, the Roosters and the Eels. Eels by 30.
So the Parramatta at the bottom eight.
Yeah, and then beat the Tigers, lost to the Sharks, bye. Lost to the Rabbitohs, beat the Titans, Knights. Lost, beat the Seagulls. So their wins came against the Titans, the Seagulls, the Knights, a bye, and then three of the top eight teams, but albeit in the first half of the season. So the wins under Mick Potter came against the Seagulls just then, the Knights and the Titans.
But it wasn't so much the wins. It was so much how they played.
Yes, true. But their points jumped, spiked by up to like 20 something around.
Yeah, like
from eight.
I can handle, you can handle losing, but if you've got that in you at the start of the year and not playing to your strengths, which is what happened, that's the disappointing part for me.
So can we separate this grade into coaches, players and club? Because it seems as though there's a lot. I think their management and admin are still on a D easily. I don't think that the players they signed as a collective were the right type of players to have signed. Addo Carr's obviously made an impact. Not for this season, no. If they wanted instant success, no. But that is also something they said that they were doing it for. Maybe different next year with a dummy half coming.
They don't win the premiership next 3 years with the players they're bringing in, the money they're forking out for these players. Their salary cap's going to be cooked for this 10.
If you say we doubled our wins from last year, it sounds good until you say we had three wins last year. I struggle to give them maybe a C minus, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
It's kind of like you don't really deserve to pass, but you did try really hard, and it's a big improvement.
It's like the most improved award.
There you go. Well done.
And I know that because I got one my first season of footy, and at the time I'm like, fuck yeah, and then I was like, oh, it's actually really insulting.
feel like they're the only You're club that's going to give out a player's Thanks, player sir. An MVP and then participation medals to every other player. Thanks for sticking with us this year. Moving up but also down, Manly Seagulls in 11th position, 20 points, 9 wins, 15 losses. Horrible start to the year, pretty epic middle part of the year, horrible finish to the year. This was kind of like a step forward, two steps backwards kind of season for the Seagulls.
I think it's a bit more than two steps backwards, to be honest.
No, well, put it this way, with everything that went on at the club, 1, 2, 3, we still finished above five teams who have less excuses.
Yeah, so. But that's because you're in the top eight before you just went on a seven week losing streak.
Yes, but remember last year we were tipped as the wooden spoon, as this year we were tipped as top four, even though it was the same squad, so that's just outside.
So you proved everyone wrong, mate.
No, we proved them wrong both years, thank you. just this way was backwards. Bright spots. Ruben Garrick's development in a second position. Tute Cooler at least getting an extended run. Olakatu's impressive form through a whole season.
Olakatu's your biggest your only thing you got going for you, to be honest.
Oh, I'll take Cooler over Dominic Young any day of the week.
You're an idiot.
I'm really not.
I honestly thought Cherry Evans had a good year too.
Until the last four or five weeks. Yeah.
Even still though, everything was coming off him. Anything good was coming off him, as you'd expect for that position. But
he was
when when you, we've always said when he's the lone ranger that he can tend to try to do too much.
I think
he lost his two biggest strike weapons out the back in Garrick and Turbo, and then even Saab on the wing. Like there, he had some pretty average. Yeah,
so you can never deny that bloke's effort. You can never do it. He has a crack every week. Okay, he fucking has a go.
What shits me about their season is so much of the.
So you need a definite culture shift because you're a bunch of wankers.
No. I'm not going to throw that just on our club because I'd like to see what would happen in every other club in the same situation. I'm proud of the club for stepping out there. But I'd say outside of I don't know how I'm trying to sum this up. Where the club finished, I think, had less to do with what happened on the field and more of the impact of the off-field stuff than I don't know how I'm trying to frame this.
I think we're not going to get a true reflection on like the scores and the last thing since that whole all that shit went down is pretty telling, despite the fact Cherry Evans keeps saying, oh, there's no rift or anything like that.
Well, that's what the captain's meant to say.
I know, but I think this preseason's going to be pretty telling on Manly. Just, you know, if they fire players, fire coaches, fire board members, I don't know, just fire. There's going to be, if nothing happens, I don't think there's a rift. If something does happen, pretty significant seismic shift, I think there was it all could probably stem from all that.
Yeah, I'd like a new board, but I've wanted a new board for like 10 years, and I think they've been the biggest hindrance to the club more so than anything. I'm still going to give them a D, and it'd be because even saying like, I didn't have them as a top four team. I think I had them as like sixth or seventh or something. Yeah, I put him as six. Like, I said, there's enough ways there to get into a finals. And even with everything going on, I honestly think it was coaching roster decisions and choice of who he's putting out on the field combined with some of the odd behaviours of the board that have had a big influence on the actual players and what they've been executing. Because I think a lot of the players who were put on the field aren't at the level required to be on the field. And, like, I think what happened to Morgan Harper that week is a better reflection than any of his positive performances that he put in after that. Coming up against a makeshift centre.
I'm giving them a C+, just because before all that shit went down, they were in the top eight.
Mm.
And they were going to be contenders to the top eight. And it wasn't because I'd like to. I know it's a bit hard, but I'm kind of rating them just what happens on the field because there's no way anyone can foresee this shit going down.
No.
And
it's been rough.
Unless your media team actually spoke to the players, but you know, that's beside the point. But there's no way they can foresee. And for what happened, I saw on the field because there's a difference between the management at the Tigers, who are a fucking joke, where the management at Manly, they kind of left you guys alone, and on the field, you guys weren't too bad. You guys were going to make the top eight before all that shit went down.
Yeah, so, and that's what I was trying to say. I think it was the shit off the field that really impacted how the team was then playing on the field.
I think if someone had said to you when Turbo went down, because what did he play? He would have played less than 10 games this year.
Yeah.
Round
12. Yeah, he got ruled out before.
I think it was round.
Origins like round 12.
Yeah, I think it was round 12. Yeah.
And he missed a couple of games to start the year, didn't he? So, like, if someone said to you at the start of the year, Turbo's playing 10 games with 2 months to go, we'll be sitting in the eight, you'd be like, yeah, bloody oath, that's a successful year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you finished 11th, but it's just the manner in which you finished 11th.
Yeah. And we finished 5 wins out of the eight. It's not like we just finished outside of the eight. It's 5 wins. And for a club, you look at the rest of the teams in the bottom eight, none of the other teams have Dragons do with Ben Hunt, but none of the others have a half. Oh, sorry. I keep forgetting Reynolds is the Broncos player now. But a half fullback combination or a strike second rower as consistent as Olakatu was this year. Yeah, I don't know. I can't pass them based on where they finish.
I've given you a D. Nah. I've given you a D plus. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. You guys are just remind me so much of us last year. We had all that debacle off the field. We lost our best player. We lost 8 in a row when we should have made the 8.
Where do you think Seagulls would have finished if the week after Trbojevic went down, they went the route I laid out where you ship the players out who aren't going to be there next year and just let the youngsters get like a good 12 rounds in?
You would have had like bottom four.
I would have put you down as an E if you did that.
Really? Wow. Okay. I would have, I reckon if they'd just done that, they'd finish, say, on 14 or 16 points. I would have given them a better mark than finishing here.
Jesus.
Because the players that stayed on the field are NRL professionals in a lot of the areas. They should have done better than where they were.
We've got the big one coming up. Well, how do you rate your Dragons this year? Yay or nay?
I've given us a pass, believe it or not. It's probably very similar to how I thought the year would play out. I thought we might scrape into the 8. I thought we'd probably be finishing between 7th and 10th. just same shit. There's been some shit, maybe the last year. 3 weeks. Yeah, it's just, it feels like Mary's coach again, but there are some promising things to take out of it. Number one, Ben Hunt. But he was outstanding this year. What more can you say? Hopefully he goes on to win the Dally M. Some of our youngsters kicked on. Like, everyone focuses on Sloan not getting a run, but no one's focusing on the fact that Cody Ramsey came in and actually done a really good job.
Yeah.
Matt Finney, it was really good to see him finish the year the way he did. He was strong. I thought two of our good signings were really good. Our bigger signings, Sully and Sua, were nice and strong when they were on the park. Lomax finished the year well. Amone finished the year well. DeBellin got better as the year went on. Like, there are a lot of promising things in there, but, and Jack Bird finished the year well too. But outside of those guys, there's some gaps, and we haven't recruited anyone, which is concerning. Other than re-signing Aaron Woods,
did you really?
Yeah, he took up the player.
We gave him a player option. Why would you give a bloke who's clinging onto his career a player option?
I think St. George was similar to Manly in that a lot of your defeats rather than your successes were based on who was actually put out on the field to start with.
I don't necessarily know about that, but
the fact that Sullivan got benched in the final game just because McCullough came back, like, with nothing to play for.
It was his last game, though, probably. I guess that's Hook's way of giving him
Broncos too.
A farewell. Yeah. Look, I'm still not sold on Hook. I feel he's probably a victim of the position he's in himself. Like, he can't be, if he was like, you know what, from the start of the year, I'm just gonna play all my rookies and see how we go. And if we finish bottom four, he's sacked. He's gotta try to find a roster that's gonna win enough games to keep him employed. No one's going to back him for the long term. And I feel like that's we're sort of stuck in that middle period, middle transition period at the moment, where we don't know what we want to do as a club. Do we want to be middle of the pack and maybe scrape into the 8 once every 4 years? Or do we want to go big and try to recruit? Or do we blow it all up and start again? I think we need to make a decision there.
Put you guys as failed this year, and it might be a bit selfish because I had very high expectations.
Oh yeah, you had him sitting sixth.
Well, like, I think I sent you guys a message this afternoon. Like, you guys had a very great mix of experience, plus, you know, you had a really experienced halfback, but you had really two really strong 5'8" to complement him, to learn off. Yeah, your hooker stocks were a bit low, but
not the balance.
Yeah, Tyrell flying at fullback. But then the thing about it is that Cody Ramsey should have been brought in around 5. Like,
He didn't, though.
I don't know, but that's the thing. Like, you had options there to cover an underperforming player.
Yeah, but we I don't know if we can say that Ramsey thing. So that's in hindsight. None of us really.
No, but
yeah,
that's but he had the balls to do it when the season was over, essentially.
But he was forced to do that because Mbai had to play hooker.
I know, but he's like, injured time. I know, but it's just, I think I said at the start, the team was there. You had the team there.
Oh, absolutely.
You just didn't know who your best 13 was. Like, Jack Bird played both sides of the ball at second row, both centers, in the halves, fullback.
Fullback. And he was playing a bit of hooker towards
the end. Yeah, like, you just... Hook went into the season not knowing what his best team was when he had the players there to compete a lot better. Which it really annoys me because they have the team to go further. And I honestly believe that you guys could have contended a lot better this year, especially with the Hunt, with the form Hunt was in. Like, he was, as I said, I wouldn't be mad if you wanted Dally M just because his season this year. You have a halfback who's on top of his game. You got a powerful center in Suli. You got probably Zach Lomax, who's at a point where he should be playing his best football. He's been in the comp long enough. You brought one of the most hardest edge players in the competition with Jaden Sua. You had experienced props. You probably just didn't have any penetration at hooker with Andrew McCulloch. But, you know, if Manly can get in the top four last year, Lachlan Croker there, you guys could have done it with Andrew McCulloch.
Like, yeah, but the if we had a good pack, it wouldn't have mattered who was, like, if we had a good pack that could contain the opposition and make a dint in their line, McCulloch would be fine. He wouldn't be great, but, you know, he'd do a job. But our pack is just too slow.
I can sum it all up.
I think, like I said, I'm a bit too selfish to look at this, but I really think you guys failed this year because of the team you had. I really do.
Yeah, that's fair. I reckon recency bias is probably what's letting me give them a C. But yeah, if you had asked me 3 weeks ago, I probably would have been like, yeah, probably a D plus.
Dragons are 12-12. 12 wins, 12 losses. I had them pegged as ninth, with the possibility of finishing in the bottom half of the top eight or the top half of the bottom eight. Well, to me, they sat exactly where I thought they would be. So to me, it's a C. They just finished meh.
That Ben Hunt played his best year and no one backed him.
That happens like every year to somebody.
Yeah, but it annoys the shit out of me. Because like I said, Zach Lomax.
You're gonna be annoyed every year.
No, but Zach Lomax should have had his best year ever this year. He's been in the NRL long enough to be a better center than what he's been playing.
He improved as the year went on though.
He was
shit for the first half of the year.
He shouldn't have been improving. He should have been at a high standard at the start for the amount of time. What is he pushing 100 games?
Yeah, an awesome year. Bo Fermor. It's just saying, like, he's annoyed that Ben Hunt had a good year and they didn't make it. I'm like, there's always a team with a player who has a good year that doesn't make it.
No, but he had a potential Dally M year.
Yeah.
Like, that's not
broken. Then Tuivasa-Sheck had that a couple of years ago with the Warriors.
Yeah, and I'm disappointed no one backed him either. Like,
it's going to happen. To me, like, their squad was good enough to finish bottom of the top eight. I'm not surprised. I'm not disappointed. I'm just whelmed. Like, well, not even. I'm just meh. They are where they are, and that's where I thought they'd be. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a couple of games that they could have won, and if they'd won, then they'd be in the top eight, and they would have been smacked in the first round of the finals.
No, we would knock the Storm off.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. There you go. Broncos, ninth position, 28 points, 13 wins, 11 losses. So, as they say in America, two above 500. For and against of negative 36, and that's saying something considering how much they've been smacked around the last month and a bit. 7-5 at home, which is good to see up at Suncorp. Positives, the emergence of Ezra Mamm, who for the style of player he is, actually found quite a bit of consistency through the year.
You're not even mentioning that absolute legend and superstar named Tyson Gamble.
Selwyn Cobbo coming in, and despite having shaky start to the year, had a really, really good season till that concussion in Origin. And he just never quite came back the same from then. Re-emergence of Corey Oates, had a pretty decent season for himself. Patrick Carrigan, breakout year. Definitely some positives there for the Broncos. But ultimately, it all kind of crumbled when it really mattered. And they fell from a pretty solidified top eight position to not really looking like they belong in the top eight by the end of the season. Reynolds definitely made his mark at certain points of the year, but it was too much for one player to really do, and especially once he got injured, you saw the difference in the squad. So I had them pinged at 12th. They finished 9th. I think they did end up playing better than I expected them to. I didn't see them finishing above the Dragons or the Seagulls, if you take all extenuating circumstances out of it. So I have to give them more than a pass. I'd probably give them a C+. Honestly, maybe even B- based on I really didn't rate the talent through the squad, and at times of the season, enough times of the season, they outperformed it, hence missing the finals by 2 points. To me, if the Broncos had made the finals, that would have been a massive overachievement. And so if I've got it like that, C+, B- is pretty much where I sit, I think, for the Broncos this year.
Yeah, I got C+ as well. I think, and I'm going to stick up for the Broncos here, which I know is going to be a shock to everyone, but I think everyone forgets. Yeah, I think everyone forgets how young a group this is and how little success they've had in the past few years. 2 years ago, they got the wooden spoon. Last year, they finished 14th. Everyone at the start of the year said Adam Reynolds will not be an instant fix for these guys. Yes, I know they reached the top four with 6 weeks to go, and they capitulated at the end of the year. But start of the year, if you're telling me, going into the last round of the season, the Broncos are playing to keep their spot in the eight, then that's a massive pass mark for me. Yeah. Yes, the way they've done it is not ideal, and you'd be disappointed, which is probably why I put them down as a C+, but their playing group will have learned so much from this, and they're going to be another year more experienced. They've experienced the ups and downs now, not just the downs. They know, all right, this is how we got to here, and this is where it all fell away. So I think that experience is going to be huge for them. But yeah, I think anyone judging them too harshly is a bit ridiculous. And this talk, not that I'm the biggest Kevy fan, but any talk about him being sacked is just ridiculous.
I just want to finish on that. 7 wins last year, so 13 wins this year, so six more wins. Hence the 12 more points. They had 16 points last year. So you put them 16 points this year, for and against, they would have been sitting 12th with the Bulldogs. And last year they finished 14th with 16 points. So and they're 4-8. Yeah, so they would have finished 13th this year if they'd kept the same points as last year, which is only a step up. But if you put this year's points where they finished 28 and you put it into last year's table, they would have finished 7th. They would have finished above the Knights and above the Titans in the finals if you took this year's points and put them into last year, because there was such that gap from the top three to everyone else. That shows that the comp's gotten better overall, even though it's hard to believe seeing some of the results this year.
I give it a C-, so just a barely pass mark, just because...
Because you're a tough teacher.
Jared, you had the Broncos the lowest out of everyone at the start of the year at 14th, and they finished 9th.
You're just going to go, fucking tough teacher.
Just throwing it out.
No, like, while hitting on the head that, you know, they're going to learn a lot from this year, but the only reason I'm not giving a higher grade is just because of the way they lost a few of those games. Like, yeah, they're in the top four with 6 weeks to go, but then they just completely this fucking, like, Titanic level blew shit up. And getting beaten by that much, like 42 points to 6 or something at Suncorp on a Saturday night, is just it's not the score so much, but the fact that there's cutting them to ribbons the entire time. And they, you know, they're talking themselves as the top four spot in the middle of the year. And then they came up against a team who has been there around about like Para and just got absolutely just fucking decimated. And then they just collapsed so much. So for me, that's just barely a pass mark because they're riding high. And then it's pretty much the opposite of the shift that the Bulldogs had when Mick Potter took over. Like, it was that significant turnaround. And that's my issue with them. Yes, they will learn, but that's a lot to learn to come back at the prime time of the year and just completely just get ripped apart multiple times over a 3-week period.
So my counter to that is when they were on their big winning streak in the middle of the season, so from round 7 onwards, they beat the Bulldogs, Sharks, Rabbitohs, okay, Seagulls, Knights, Titans, Raiders, before Raiders started playing well, right? And these are the teams they lost to on the run home. Storm, Cowboys, Tigers is the outlier, Roosters, Storm, Parramatta.
Dude.
And then Dragons. So,
dude,
They lost to the top four teams.
I already explained that.
So how's that a C minus when they were only losing the top four teams?
Dude, I already explained. It wasn't the scores or who they lost against. It's how they lost. Just cut the ribbons. The defense was poor. Their attack was just non-existent. You watch that Newcastle game. Yeah, while Newcastle's attack wasn't flash, they had confidence in their attack. They were throwing cutout balls. They were committed to their plays. Those games, they weren't. And that's the difference. You can't just look at the scores and go, oh, they played this team. No, look at who they played and how they played against them.
I think you're underestimating the effect that Origin had on them as well. Especially being a young group.
As I said, they will learn something. But they just completely ran out of puff and they didn't get pulled out from it. It was the games, it was how they lost. It wasn't who they lost to, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think it's still a bit harsh, but
yeah. Right. Yeah, but
to me, you're allowed to have an opinion.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just trying to understand the
Do you remember watching those games?
Yeah.
Like, do you remember how much freedom they had? Like, you know, there was that game. Well, that period of time where Adam Reynolds just had the testicles the size of bowling balls and just put that ball on a 5-cent piece to sell on Colbo to catch.
But he also had a less talented team around him than he had at the Rabbitohs as well.
But the confidence he had in his players around him to create that free plays before, because he had to draw in the fullback and the winger for that to happen, this wasn't in the last 6 weeks.
No, and that's to be expected. They just didn't have confidence.
And is. Sorry?
I said, I think that's to be expected with the youngest team in the comp or second.
Yeah, but it's like I said, it's nothing to do with age. It's nothing to do with who they played. It's about how they played. Like, how do you lose confidence that significantly? That's a full 180.
Because they're really young. That's
inexperience.
Because I think, like,
you'd actually argue inexperience would still maintain their confidence. So look at Penrith for the last 2 years.
No way.
I don't think there's any team in the bottom eight that had such highs and won games as convincingly as the Broncos did. As often as they did. There's not a team in the bottom eight that came close to that. Or maybe Seagulls had a run of maybe 4 games where they looked really good. But when the Broncos were winning games, they were winning it within the first 20 minutes. And then they had some really big lows towards the end of the season, but every team in the bottom eight had lows. They just had more of them. I get where you're coming from, but I think with the young, like, West Tigers were losing games worse than the Broncos, and they've got a hell of a more experienced team than they do.
Yeah, but I complimented the Bulldogs for their 180, and now swinging it back against the Broncos for their 180, and there was no significant change in their team other than Origin. So
winning and losing is contagious, though, especially with the young group. It's one thing I've learned. Like playing cricket with a very inexperienced group where we got a bunch of kids pretty much playing first grade. When we win 3 games in a row, but when we lose, we're losing. And a lot of the time, it just steamrolls. And then your games are getting blown out and It's a hard thing to turn. It's a really hard thing to turn.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, like, yes, they're inexperienced, but there are Alan Langer who won 4 premierships. You got Kevin Walters who won 6. You've got Aaron Reynolds who won 1. Kirk Capewell who won 1 last year. So, yes, inexperience is a factor, but they've also got the experience around them to arrest that momentum a bit better than they did.
Yeah, but Alan Langer's been there for how long?
Well, he's been he's only been there for the last 3 years.
Well, I don't remember him winning a premiership without a star-studded team either.
No, and same with Adam Reynolds and same with...
How you got to win a premiership?
No, but I mean,
you're not going to go from being...
Langer teams a couple of rungs above Reynolds' team.
They would have learned what to look for in a downward spiral. Like,
yeah.
But no, well, that's just my thing. For it. You know, I might be harsh. It is what it is.
I think that comparison to last year, I didn't do that till we got on here. The fact if you took their performance this year, they would have finished 7th last year, which is...
As long as Brickhouse make the 8, mate, I don't give a shit.
You wouldn't have made... Oh, you would have been 8th last year instead of 7.
You would have been 8.
Which is really interesting. Right. So I think, out of the bottom 8, on average, 2 teams, I think, got a pass in the Dragons and the Broncos.
And the Dogs?
Yeah.
Did they?
But I did fail the Dragons, so.
Yeah, I said on average. Two over one.
You did that out of spite.
Yeah.
What spite do I have against the Dragons?
I hope you enjoyed that one, guys. We'll be back for our finals preview show. Probably record Thursday night. So, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do it Wednesday night. I'll be hopefully celebrating 3 grand final victories, or at least one, definitely the Div 1 one. That'd be sick. But we'll have it to you before the first game of the finals, which is going to be, should be the Friday night, shouldn't it? Or is it going to be, Friday night. Penrith versus Power. Then there'll be 2 on the Saturday, 1 on the Sunday. That's how it should be. All right. We'll catch you then. Thanks to Will. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to you guys for listening and supporting. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio.